I mean, since we are at the already talking a bit about oral history, the method, maybe we should. Ist das für mich? Danke.
Danke.
I'm wondering, maybe we should just talk about oral history method in Germany for a brief while, because it seems that German oral historians have developed a very specific kind of approach to interviewing, what you call, I think, the semi-open narrative life history interview,
Yeah.
Which you divide into four different phases. And maybe you can just briefly tell me how this was developed. How did you come to use this specific approach to interviewing people? And also briefly describe what it actually is.
Yeah. I think it came from the from sociology to make a difference between those parts of an interview where people are asked for a narration of their life in a way that it's not that is not structured by your questions, and therefore we have only one question at the beginning, and that is, please tell me your life story. Yeah? And then they ask all my life, or shall I all of my life, from the beginning, from my birth, or what do you mean? And then I said, how do you want it? Yeah, tell me like you want it. And then some people tell you their life story, like a story for an appliance, maybe has it.
For an application,
For an application.
like a CV or a resume.
Yes. Yeah. And others tell you 25 hours in four sessions without any question from me what their life story was. Yeah. And which experience are so interesting or whatever. Yeah. And it's an interesting generation with all the ex different experiences. And therefore, I can understand it. But it's different. And I think it's necessary to have this part. Otherwise, they are not only talking, following the structure you gave to them, more. They feel what your orientation is, what your attitude is to different questions, what your orientation, political orientation, for instance, church, religious one is. I would not say that they have no picture of the interviewer. They have pictures. Looking at my beard, for instance, that was a sign for a special generation. But it's like a good journalist. You can't always divide between comment and report. Yeah? But it's a good measure, a good aim to do it like that. Yes, you have to try it. You have to try in this question for oral history that the people tell you their life story like they want to structure it. Yes? How they stress specific periods, how they try to underestimate others. Can I say it? Underestimate others? Also,
Yeah.
die herunterzuspielen, to bagatellize,
De-emphasize.
de-emphasize. And then, after this first free narration, then you can ask. Yeah. In the meantime, you are only calm. Perhaps sometimes you say, "Oh, ah, ja, oder auch nur, also so mal positiv, mal aber as neutral as possible." I, for my person, I write some questions for me. Yeah. Make notices, and then I, as if they ask, or I declare it at the beginning and say, please excuse me, but I have to write a little bit when you are talking, because otherwise I would forget my questions. Mm. Yes, and all the people I know accept it. On the other hand, there are some older people, sometimes traumatized people, or people who are sick, ill, have diseases. They can't organize in their remembrances their lives. Hmm. And then, if I realize it, then I'll ask earlier than usual some questions, and normally only questions which help this person to organize these remembrances. Hmm. Yeah. For instance, asking for the family. Yeah. Everybody gets his security, no, his safety. It's not so unsure when you ask for a family or for a question where this person is involved, clearly involved, and knows a lot. Mm. Yeah, then I ask such questions. Sometimes I realize no, it will not work when I ask this very, very general question. But it's very, very seldom. The second part...
And just the first part. Yeah. And have you ever found that an interviewee completely rejects this kind of question and wants to be asked yeah. very specific questions?
Yeah, I did it. I have this experience, and I take this interview as a schooling, as a teaching material,
oh.
yes, for interviews in a new project. Said when I just had all things cleared, I thought, yes, how we normally make interviews, that he shall tell us his life story and so on, and then he said, I didn't understand. What did you mean? Yeah. Then I say, yes, please tell me your life story. Oh, so, no, please ask me. Yeah, and then I said, yes, please tell me something about your parents. Yeah? And then after this question, he is in, mm-hmm. in this, mm-hmm. in his story of a life story, mm-hmm. of his life story. But I know people, just Holocaust survivors, who didn't want to talk about their whole life. They say only that they were born, let's say, in Eastern Europe, and in 1 minute they are in the question of the Holocaust. But that's his decision, mm-hmm. or her decision, yeah. to emphasize the Holocaust experience.
The other question I have about this first part is, and I've used it myself,
mm-hmm.
my experience is that the interviewees already know quite a bit about your own interests,
yeah.
because you have to contact them,
yeah.
you mm-hmm. have to tell them what the project is
yeah.
about, and they often try to please you by addressing those questions,
yeah.
even in the life story interviews.
Yeah.
Is that something that you have found?
You have the same experience. That's what I meant with this example of a journalist. Yeah? You know that you are not neutral for them. They know something about you. They know about something about your interest. They know something about what they imagine about your character, your political orientation, and so on. Nevertheless, it's very good to say before, you know what I want to know about this and this and these special questions, but we need the description of your origin, your family background, and so on. Please tell me your whole story, and we want to know what happens afterwards. Yes, perhaps something of that what you are telling us is important for a development of your health of your relationships and so on. And normally, most of the people accept this interest. I think everybody accepts that a special experience may have special consequences, just the Holocaust. Therefore, I was always critical against Holocaust Memorial or Shoah Foundation interviews, where the most people are telling you less about their post-war experiences and developments. Mm. But it's so important for their specific coming through with this experience of the Holocaust. Otherwise, you wouldn't understand a lot of their stories, what they are telling about the whole about the Holocaust itself.
Mm-hmm.
You sometimes can verstehen, you can understand it better when you know how they are telling their life after the war. You understand more about that, what they perhaps in a form of a quiet message, of a form of a very careful message, they wanted to tell you something about the Holocaust. You understand it better if you have the whole story.
Hmm. Okay. And then the next phase, what do you do there?
That's the phase of the questionnaire, to say it very shortly. That means it might be that you have something perhaps misunderstood, and then you ask it. Yeah. For instance, just now I had an interview, and this person said it was in the middle of the 60s, and I knew that she meant in the middle of the 70s in the GDR. And I asked for that. And then it was clear that she couldn't understand my question, because it was clear it was in the 70s, but she had said 60s, and therefore it was necessary to have it on the record that she meant in the middle of the 70s. Mm. That's only a short time, I think, to
clarification.
Only for clarification. More important is the next phase. You have to decide which questions were answered by the first free narration,
mm-hmm.
And what's not answered, or what's not clarified. Yeah, and that's a very, very difficult question. If somebody says something, yes, my mother was a very, very beautiful woman, and she was dominant within the family, and they got divorced after 20 years of their marriage. And then he's talking, or this person is talking about another question. So yet then you have to decide, was it enough with what he said about his mother or not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he is clear, there is nothing about the work, besides to be a mother, of this woman. There is nothing said about the reasons for this divorce. You didn't have heard anything about his or her, in this case, her political orientation, and so on. But that's necessary, and therefore you have to ask it. But it's sometimes very difficult to decide in which time or in which moment is this question I have is answered or not. Yeah?
Mm.
You have to ask for that. Yeah? That's clear, I think. And then you have, for your specific life story project, you have thought before the project started, as an interview project, you have developed a questionnaire. That means you have a lot of questions, And you are eager to hear something, some of the answers, hopefully. And then you have always to decide, yes or not, is it answered or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? The problem, normally, the problem is that your questions are or should be questions to which the interviewees wouldn't say yes or no as an answer. A lot of not very good interviewers ask people in a form where they can only answer with yes or no.
The closed question.
A closed question.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Kunst, the art of interview is to find an operationale, I do not know the English word, a form for your questions, a form which allows the interviewees to tell us stories,
mm-hmm.
episodes, description of persons, and so on, as a very concrete stories or even episodes. And this has two reasons. On the one side, you helps this person to come into the own history.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always the best by descriptions of persons, of working conditions, school descriptions, describing a teacher, to tell us something about the most, was heißt, attract, also die Lieblingsfächer zum Beispiel.
The favorite subjects.
Favorite subjects in school and so on. And then you can ask, for instance, did your teacher did you have a story where your teacher was in a very, very hard sense unfair? Yeah?
Hmm.
Or did you have a favorite teacher? And so on. And then they describe you situations or a story about this unfair teacher, why, and so on. Or when you are talking about your family, yes, you can always talk something about a person, you know. That's good, but sometimes not enough. Therefore, I have two questions which can make it more clear. For instance, a question... I cannot translate it. Perhaps you can help me. The question is, who has the trousers in the families?
Okay, who wears the pants in the family?
Who wears the pants in the family? It's very a funny question, because normally bourgeois families, it's clear their answer is normally, oh, my wife is the finance minister and I had to bring the money or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah? Or my wife was the dominant person in the family. And then you have to ask, and who decides about your studies, for instance, and your job and so on. And then it's perhaps clear the father did it against his general meaning. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And so on. Also, who is the trouser? And the other is who wears the pants. You said?
Yeah, who wears the pants in the
who
family?
Who wears the pants? It's a funny question, because it doesn't work in any situation. For instance, I make a gypsy project, yeah, and they laughed. They laughed when I said it. You can ask, for instance, this question to get episodes, for instance. And why? They said, yes, because who would say that my wife has the trousers or wears the pants? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable in a gypsy family,
uh-huh.
yeah, that a man would say it,
uh-huh.
Would speak about it like that. Yeah, that's one question, but it's always a question where discussions comes.
Uh-huh.
Or the other is in our culture, who is or do you have a black sheep, can I say it, in your family? Mm-hmm. Wer ist das schwarze Schaf in deiner Familie?
Yeah. Black sheep.
It's a black sheep, yeah?
Black sheep,
and then it's I have the best results by this question, because there is always a black sheep in a family, nearly in all cases. Yeah? And then you have you hear a lot about the standards within the family and in within the family tradition. Yes, who is fitting to this tradition, who not? Yeah? Who fixes?
Fits.
Also, wer passt da rein?
Yeah,
who fits? Yeah? And who not? Yeah? And why not? And sometimes people are the black sheep, red sheep. Yeah? In my family, there was a black sheep, was a red sheep. Yeah? And so on. And then you hear a lot about the standards, the moral, because very, very often I heard stories about girls who had relationship to a married man, for instance, yes, and had to leave the normal background because it was so bad for her that she had to leave to Africa in one case, and so on. And then you hear a lot about what was going on in a family when the standards were not fulfilled. Yeah, and that's a very good form to hear something about these family self-description, or this of this person. And a lot of people say, no, I was a black sheep. Mm. It's funny to see, because if you describe yourself as a boy or a young man, that means in the time where you have a lot of contradictions to your parents, then they talk about these contradictions, and then they feel themselves as a black sheep. Mm. Yeah? Because they were not accepted in that time. Even though they were accepted later, because they were more calm now, more politically correct, or something like that. Yeah? Or married woman, and before they lived together without marriage. And by these questions, you can see the generational standards, for instance. I think here, for instance, in this village, it was not possible before the 60s to live together, unmarried. Until the 70s, I know a lot of my generations who lived together without marriage, and so on. What I want to say is, you have to think about not only the question, but the way you will put the form you will put this question in, to get narratives, to get episodes, descriptions, and anecdotes, for instance, and so on. And that's, I think, the most difficult question for young interviewers. And there's another point. I think we all have problems to ask, to intimate. Let's say you want to know something about the educational style in different times. Then it's for some people very, very, very difficult to talk about the relationships between sexes. How will you come to this these answers for such a question? And I think you have to ask, like this question for the Holocaust experience or knowledge about the Holocaust. You have, gibt's sowas about the Einkreisen?
Encircle.
You have to come from different points, from different other questions to this. The one reason is to help the people to talk about things they don't want to talk to people they do not know. The other thing is, our brain is not working as one brain. we have different brains. That means we have a brain, for instance, for more episodic forms of remembrance, or we have more for dates and facts and times and so on. To person, biographical episodes. We have different forms of remembrances in our brain. And that's a real question. I will give you an example. I asked, for instance, for a struggle between the last communist trade union leader after the war in the West. He lost his position in a bigger town in Essen. in 1949, and all the people could tell me the conflict. They could tell me the story, who was against him, what was the point where the majority of the trade unions voted against him. Yeah, but at the beginning, if you would have asked, when does it happen? They do not know. They couldn't say anything about, perhaps it was, yes, after the war. Yeah, it's clear. But 48, 49, 50, before the founding of the Federal Republic of Germany, they do not know. But if you ask them for this conflict and the conflicts about this person, and at the end they will tell you, or besides, in the meantime, when they are talking about the conflict, they remember the time, yeah? Because they have points of Fehler, würde ich sagen, Erinnerungsfehler, an denen sie sich orientieren können. They have orientation points, yeah? And they get it. And then they can get relations to the time. Yeah? Yeah, because they knew persons who came only in 1950. No, he was not in this function in that time. No, it must be before, and so on. Yeah, or other questions like that. Did you know your or the position of your father when Hitler came up or to his chancellorship? So they say. Hitler, when was it? And then Barber answered, for instance, oh, it was just after the Dauerwelle. Weißt du, was it is?
Perm. Yeah, a perm, a haircut.
Perm.
Short for permanent wave.
Ah, perm. Uh-huh. Yeah. Or it was before the Olympia wave. That means, you know, 1936, there were the Olympic Games in Berlin, and they do not have this timetable in their mind, but they have other points of orientation, personal ones. Mm-hmm. Yes, and you have, that's an art again, you have to find these points which were important for the life of your interviewee. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and therefore you have to come from different places, different times, and different questions to this question you wanted to know, the specific one you wanted to know anything about it. And I think that's a very important point to for interview theory, that you have to find these very specific points of orientation in the life of this person. Yes, otherwise they wouldn't remember it, and they would talk you something, and it's clear that it can't be right. Mm. Yeah. On the other hand, it's important to ask them for personal orientations, attitudes, and you know, if you would ask them, what did you think about the Nazis, 1933? He would say, or this person would say, something new, what he have learned to say after the war. But if you wouldn't ask for attitudes, but for episodes again, you would perhaps get more about the real orientation. I give you an example. I think you perhaps have read it because I like it so much, this example. It was one of my first interviews in the GDR, 1987. Always, all people you asked were a member of the working class and anti-fascists.
Mm-hmm.
Clear. Yeah, in the GDR it was clear you have to be worker and anti-fascist. How could I get more? Yeah, how could I get something about their real orientation? This woman was a daughter of a baker, and I thought all what she said made clear that they must be national socialists in their family. And then I asked, like Luisa Passerini, very similar. I didn't ask, what did you think about Hitler? But I asked, did you ever see Hitler? Have you ever seen Hitler?
Hmm.
And in this case, not always, but in this case, it happened that she said, yes, I met him in Zwickau. The Autobahn was founded, or what would you say it in English? Opened.
Opened.
And the whole group of the BDM, Bund Deutscher Mädel, the girls' Hitler Youth Organization, had to come to this point where the Autobahn was opened by him. And at the beginning she said, oh, we didn't like it, we had to go and we must and so on. And then more and more, when she talked about this story, how they get to come to this place, more and more she talked like in former times.
Mm.
Yeah, they knew that Hitler would come with a cabriolet. Yeah. Wow. And they wanted to see him, and then they tried to get the best position, yeah, on the street. And she was the only lucky one, yes, who could get his hand, yeah, when he was driving very slowly, driving to this place, yeah, and the whole. Begeisterung vielleicht, nee, wie sagt man, ja.
Enthusiasm?
The whole enthusiasm.
Yeah, enthusiasm.
Came until today, to have narrative from today. Yeah.
Okay, so you could feel her.
A lot, and she talked about the girls who tried, and she was the only one, but the others tried but were not so lucky and so on. And it was totally different to the beginning of the story.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I think all these forms to get questions in a way to this interview, which allows this person to think about or to remember stories and episodes like this, then you have a chance to come a little bit closer to the real experience of that time.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps it helps to break a little bit away from the security, what is it? Panzer, was sagt man so den?
Sort of one's protection.
Yes, yes. Yeah, in that way I mean it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to help him to really to help him to come into a better remembrance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you would ask me what happened 1968, you was in Berlin. What happened on the 1st of July? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do not know it. But if you would ask me, have you ever been on the demonstration against Tegeler Weg, it's called in German, then I would say, yes, it was it in that time? Yes, please. Then I can tell you something about it. Yeah.